I woke up with a little bit of voice stuff this morning, so sorry if I'm quieter than normal. We're starting a new series, and it's called The Path. We're going to be in Proverbs. So this is going to be a study in Proverbs. I've got six scriptures picked out. We'll see if it lasts 6 weeks or not. I'm not sure, but we are going to be in Proverbs, and it's if you know anything about Proverbs, it's pretty convicting sometimes, and it's one of my favorite places to read. Lots and lots of wisdom in there. So we're going to talk about that as we go. But in talking about a path, what does a path do? You're allowed to speak. Leads to somewhere. That's it, right? Connects two places, right? Or three or four. It gives you a way to go, right? There's safe passage. Yeah, all kinds of things. If we think about it, right, the stuff keeps coming. So when I think about paths, I mean, we don't really have as many paths now as we do roads, right? And so if you can see that, this is a map. In case you didn't know, you live right about here-ish. And there's Indianapolis, you know, is kind of this crossroads, right? You can go in pretty much any direction and hit a major city. So if you want to go to Louisville or Nashville, you just take 65 South, right? Or if you want to go to Chicago, you get on the same road, but you head north, right? 65 North. And then if you wanted to go to St. Louis, you would go 70 West, right? And then also Kansas City. And if you wanted to really be adventurous, you could go to Denver and even end up in Utah somewhere, where it splits into 15. I mean, that's a long path, but we know, right? Or if you take 70 the other way, you're going to hit Columbus and then eventually Pittsburgh and then Cincinnati, you go on 74, right? And then if you take 69 up north, you hit Fort Wayne and then Lansing. We've got a lot of paths around here, right? There's a lot of different ways to go. Now, if you take 70 west to St. Louis, right, where are you? You would have to be crazy to think that getting on 70 west is going to take you to Chicago, right, or Nashville, or anywhere else. In fact, you would be lost, and your wife would be really mad at you, right, because you have just wasted all that time on the road trip. There's all these paths that we really live by, and you have to be on the right one to get where you want to go, right? Because if not, especially right now, you can't. It's too much gas to waste driving around. It's too expensive to get lost right now. Your direction, this is the theme for the day, and I'm going to say this a few times, but your direction determines your destination. Your direction determines your destination. Your intentions do not, right? If I intend to go to St. Louis, but I go east on 70, my intention was St. Louis, my destination is Pittsburgh, right? I'm not going to end up in St. Louis, even though I intended to. You following me? Okay, pretty simple, right? Your destination determines your direction determines your destination. Your intention does not. You ever go to the movies? Who likes to go to the movies? Or did COVID kill that for pretty much everybody? Well, it's nice that they release into the house now. But what do you do before you go to the movies? You want a preview, right? A trailer. You don't just show up at the movies and say, this one, you know, this poster looks good. I'm going to go to that one. You want to know, right? You don't necessarily want the whole story given away. But if you're going to go and see an action movie, right, you want to know that it's an action movie and kind of who's in it and what it's about. Or guys, you definitely want to know if you're going to a chick flick before you go, right? You need to prepare for that kind of stuff. Or, you know, maybe you're going to see an adventure movie. You want to know what this stuff is about. So we're going to be in Proverbs for this series. So I figured today, not for the whole time, but just a brief kind of preview so everybody's on the same page about Proverbs and the wisdom literature in general. So in ancient Israel, there's three groups of people, right? And there's more than that. There's three groups of people who spoke on behalf of God. And the first ones are the priests, and they gave the law. So they kind of told people what to do and how to do it, you know, through these scriptures, these early scriptures. And then you have prophets who gave direction from God and correction from God. So God would speak to prophets, and then they would then correct or direct people. And then you have sages, and they gave counsel, right? They gave wisdom to God's people. And so this wisdom literature in the Old Testament is the books of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. So these five books, didn't mean to make it look like a Christmas tree there, but I did. These five books are meant, right? They're written to give wisdom. So intelligence, right? You guys are probably of the most intelligent people in the world. I can feel that, right? It's knowing lots of things, right? Being intelligent is knowing lots of things, which is good. It's good to be intelligent. Don't get me. I'm not saying that's bad. It's good to be intelligent. Wisdom, right, is knowing what to do in lots of situations. So being intelligent doesn't necessarily mean that you're wise, right? You can know a ton of things, you can pass a lot of tests, you can read a lot of books, but if you don't know how to react in situations, if you don't know what direction, right, to take, then it's kind of, the intelligence kind of is useless in practice. So that's kind of what wisdom is about. So wisdom literature is written to help us become wise as Christians, as followers of Jesus. So Proverbs is mostly written by Solomon. Solomon was the son of David. He was the king of Israel for a long time. Super wealthy, super wise. King Solomon is one of the, it was documented as the wisest man to ever live. In 1 Kings, I think? Yes, 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 32 and through 34, this is said of King Solomon. It says, he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He also spoke about animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. From all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. So this guy was very, very wise, right? He's got people coming from all over the world. That's a big deal. You couldn't just hop on a plane, right? They were traveling long distances to see and hear Solomon speak. So this is who is writing, or who has written most of these Proverbs. And beyond that, it sounds like he had like a lot of number one albums too, and he had a couple doctorates in zoology, and he had a lot of stuff going on, right? So King Solomon died in 931 BC. Now, that's a long time ago, 3,000-ish years ago. But there's more to Proverbs than just what Solomon did. So it's believed that King Solomon wrote the first 24 chapters. So 1 through 24 would be King Solomon, and then a guy named Hezekiah wrote 25 to 29, and then Agur, son of Jecah, he wrote chapter 30, and then 31 would be King Lemuel. And that's kind of where scholars have landed on who and how Proverbs came to be. So, are you guys bored yet? Okay, good. That's enough of context and history. I'm kicking my bulletin around. There we go. Your direction determines your destination. Your direction determines your destination. We're going to be in Proverbs 7 today. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's 27 verses, but it's not, you know, not too bad of a read. In fact, this one is gets a little spicy, so just hang on. We'll experience that together. Proverbs 1, it says, my son, keep my words, or Proverbs 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and to insight, you are my relative. They will keep you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman within her seductive words. So Solomon is setting up this illustration, right? And this illustration in Scripture is labeled the adulterous woman. Now, this woman is probably not real. Like, this is probably Solomon telling a story. The way it's written would line up with that of poetry or maybe even a song. Honestly, it sounds like a lot of the songs on the radio today. So, kind of think of that as we go. But he's telling a story to kind of warn people about the path that they're going to take, or the path that they're, leaning towards taking. So here is the story as said by Solomon. Starting in verse 6, it says, "At the window of my house, I looked down through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who had no sense. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. At twilight, as the day was fading, and as the dark of night set in." So, you feel like something bad's about to happen, right? This guy, he's walking, and it's nighttime or the sun's setting, and he's walking in the direction of her house, right? Basically what Solomon is saying, he's cruising for chicks at this point. That's what this guy's doing. He's out kind of looking for something to get involved in or some trouble. So verse 8 says, "He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house," right? In the direction of her house. Your direction determines your destination, right? The way Solomon's setting this up is this guy probably knew what he was getting into and where he was going and what was about to happen. Your direction determines your destination. Even if you're not intending on doing anything, that direction, right, determines destination, not our intentions. So Solomon, it sounds like, has seen this happen a time or two, and he's painting this picture for whoever, it says my sons, but whoever he's talking to and whoever's going to read this, he's painting this picture of this young man who has no sense, who's out on the prowl, basically. So then verse 10 is where we pick up. It says, "Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is unruly and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, and at every corner she lurks." Man, Solomon does not mince words, does he? We're going to find that in Proverbs. He very much calls it like he sees it. He's not worried about offending people or worried about talking, sugarcoating things. He's very intentional about how he says things are happening in this book of Proverbs. So, here's where it gets a little... This is in the Bible, I promise. Verse 13, "She took a hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, 'Today I fulfilled my vows, and I have food from my fellowship offering at home. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let us enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money, and he will not be home until full moon.'" That's trouble, right? You believe that's in the Bible? Whew. Yikes. Good grief. Solomon. But he had these boys' attention, whoever he was talking to, right? Man, he's got our attention. He's got my attention. This was written 3,000 years ago. Can you believe that? That's very, very relatable to today. You've got a friend who's been there, right? I mean, we all know someone who's been in this exact position. Almost verbatim, right? I mean, crazy how this relates to our world today. 3,000 years ago. We're not that different as what they used to be. So she says a weird thing there. She says, "I have food from my fellowship offering at home." This is where it's even more kind of messed up. So basically, she has been to the temple that day, and she has made a sacrificial offering, right? And she has food from that visit. So she's telling them, essentially, she's not out there looking for money in this sort of behavior, like Solomon was suggesting in the beginning. She's got plenty of money. She has a husband that takes care of her. She has a house with expensive perfume and all this stuff, right? She has essentially taken, if I could use this illustration, I guess, imagine, you know, they would go to the temple and sacrifice. She's basically taken her bucket of sin and she's dumped it at the temple, and now she's ready to refill. That's kind of the vibe this is putting off. So she knows full well what she's doing, and she's you know, trying to get this young man to fall in line with her plan. So she's really trying to talk him into this. But she's so this stuff is, she's well off. She's been to the temple already today, fulfilled her vows today. So, to a young man of the world, what is the risk here, right? And there is none. She's got all this stuff, right? She has food, she has perfume, her husband's out of town. What's the risk? This is a one-time thing, right? This is where he's feeling like this is an easy thing for me to get away with. Husband's not back till full moon, so days, right? Maybe weeks. We're not going to get caught in this. This is something that I can just get involved with and walk away. So Solomon describes in the last seven verses this path that this young man has started on. He spends the last seven verses, we're done with the spicy stuff, but with these last seven verses, Solomon just kind of talks about where and how this boy is being led down this path. So verse 21, it says, "With persuasive words she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways, or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death." Man, Solomon's a writer, huh? That's crazy. Like an ox being led to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose or a trap waiting to be killed, or like a bird flying into. This is what he's explaining this one decision, this one simple direction as. He's starting down this path. Solomon tells us about a disconnect, right? And it's really what this is. This kid's not intending on heading down a path to leading to death or destruction, right? He's just thinking in this short-term, quick fix type of mentality. So there's a disconnect here, right? The kid doesn't want death, but he does this thing that leads him down a path of destruction. This disconnect plays out in our world as well in so many ways. Here's three examples I quickly thought of. Somebody who wants to lose weight, right? And then drives through Burger King and gets the new Bacon King that weighs about a pound and a half. I don't know how I know that. It also tastes really good. Or, you know, there's the disconnect, right? We can want to do something, but if we take this direction, that destination is not going to lead where we want. Someone who's really looking to get a good GPA, and then when it's time to study, they're just playing video games, right? That's not the direction to go to get a 4.0 or a 3.0 anything, right? That's how there's that disconnect. Or maybe someone who wants to deepen their relationship with God but wakes up every morning, instead of opening Scripture, just flips through the phone and scrolls and scrolls and looks through all these things, and hey, I'm guilty of that sometimes too. It's a disconnect, right? If we want to deepen our relationship with God, prayer, worship, Scripture, service needs to trump these other things. It's the direction. What direction am I taking? So the question is, are there disconnects in your life? Are there disconnects in places that you're wanting to go, but the direction you're taking is different than that? Are your intentions and your directions aligned? See, that's the part. What I'm intending to do, am I taking that direction? So if I want to lose weight, am I taking the direction opposite of Burger King, right? Sorry, Burger King, I know this is on the internet. Yeah. Am I taking the direction of stuff or of things that is not going to promote a healthy lifestyle? If I'm wanting to study or if I'm wanting to get good grades, am I studying over playing video games? If I want to grow my relationship with God, am I diving into Scripture rather than Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever? Are my intentions aligned with my direction? So we've got two questions to wrestle with this week. Two questions I want you to leave this place like just really thinking about. And one of them we're going to try and answer. The other one, we're going to just give you some space here, kind of a checklist. So the first one is, what direction am I heading in today? And this is kind of how we're going to start this whole series off. So when you come back next week, you'll have thought through some of this stuff over the week. What direction am I heading in today? Spiritually, right? Where am I at? If I'm wanting to grow spiritually, and that my intention, is my direction heading that way, or is it heading the opposite way? Relationally, with my spouse, my kids, my friends, my extended family, my coworkers, am I in a good direction relationally? Emotionally, am I stable? Do I intend on being good this way, or am I heading in a good direction? And even financially, because the list can just go on and on and on. But you know, if we want to be, covered. I don't think any of us should be looking to get rich. But if we want to be able to not be bankrupt, are we making good financial decisions? Is our directions lining up with our intentions? And then the second question, and this is the one we're going to try and answer: how do I learn to choose the right path? How do I learn to choose the right path? The first is get wisdom, right? Aspire to wisdom. Intend on getting wisdom and take that direction. So over the next 31 days, it would be a good idea, we'll still be in this series, it'd be a good idea to read the 31 chapters of Proverbs. We did it very quickly here, and I'm a slow reader. They're really not long. And they're all kind of poems and that kind of thing. So it's kind of fun. And a lot more. He says a lot of crazy stuff in there. It's worth the read. But we get wisdom by reading wisdom literature. And so if you run through Proverbs in 10 days, you can go to the other ones, right? We get wisdom, and we can do that, first of all, by reading the Scriptures. Second, we get accountability. How is this story different if that guy had an accountability partner, right? How different is this story if he's got a buddy walking alongside of him saying, ha, maybe don't, right? Maybe don't do that. She said husband. She said that she did the creepy thing with the sacrifice, and now she's ready. Maybe we just stay away from that lady, huh? That story is different, right? It's a different ending. It's a whole different thing altogether. If you're expecting to take the right direction, you need accountability. You need someone holding you accountable. Now, if that's getting into a small group or a Sunday school class here, that's great. If it's one-on-one with someone, if it's something like our Renew ministry or anything like that, accountability is key to being on the right path. It will keep you directed, right? It's that thing that helps those intentions stay aligned. And then the last thing is long-term versus short-term thinking. Long-term versus short-term thinking. We need to be thinking about, this is in choosing the right path, right? There's a path that probably looks easy and cheap and fun, right? But we don't know where it ends. We can't see where it ends. And then this one looks like it might take a while, but we know it's going to be a good ending. And this works in any manner of our lives. Long term, what implications is this decision going to have 20 years down the road, 30, 40? Is it going to affect my kids or my grandkids or their grandkids? What am I setting into motion? What path am I taking? And what are the implications of this? Right? Short term, we live in a very short term world, right? And if you live somewhere, I mean, here we can get stuff from Amazon in like a day and a half, 2 days. In the city, they just have little remote control airplanes that drop them right at your door. I mean, this is a very short-term world that we live in. We have to counter culture by thinking in long-term goals, right? And thinking in long-term processes. That's how we learn to choose the right path. Your direction determines your destination. Your direction determines your destination. Your intentions do not. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this story, as crazy as it is, God, that we would just leave this place thinking, seeing the right path. God, help our intentions to line up with our direction. God, if we're not being held accountable, God, help us to find that person or group that's gonna be that for us. God, as we leave this place today, just help us to think in long-term, eternal type of processes. God, we know that it's you ultimately and your spirit that directs our path. Help us to just be in tune with you and what direction we need to go. God, we thank you for the wisdom of this book in Proverbs that we're just going to keep diving into. Help us to just apply this to our lives as we leave this place. And God, once again, we just want to thank you for the brave men and women that we're remembering this weekend. God, help us not to forget those sacrifices that were made. And we just want to be on the right path. We want to be on the path that leads ultimately to eternity and brings as many people with us as we can. So God, help us to live in your grace and to pour that out amongst others. We just love you and we praise you and we just want to live to glorify you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. The band's going to sing. Our altars are always open. This is kind of an unconventional message today, but if God spoke to you and you feel the need to respond, or if you're carrying a burden or whatever the case may be, our altars are always open for you to come pray. Would you stand and sing with us?